Suzanne Cain on 98FM.
I'm laughing because that song, Loosen Up Those Buttons, is perfect for this next conversation. Summer is coming. Maybe you're single and maybe you're looking for love. And the one question you may have is, where do I start? Now, despite the explosion of apps in recent years, and let's face it, they are not for everyone and can fill some people with absolute dread, which I get. We're joined in the studio now by one lady who is offering an alternative to the madness of apps. Mairead Lochman is Ireland's leading professional matchmaker and founder of Love HQ, where she has helped over 10,000 people to find love. That's incredible. Mairead, welcome to 98FM.
Welcome.
We were just saying, as Buttons was playing, it's a great song when you're out with your friends, the girlfriends, and you're dancing to that on the dance floor.
Absolutely. A great one just to get the night going, isn't it?
Absolutely. What is matchmaking? How would you break it down and explain that term to us?
Basically, I help people to find love. It is as simple as that. It doesn't matter who you are, what you're looking for, how much dating experience you have. If you come to us, we'll help you to find love. So what happens is I meet all of my clients in person. I get to know them, the type of person they'd like to meet, and then anything else that I feel might help me to match them. As you said yourself there, I've matched over 10,000 people since 2016. I travel all over Ireland matching people. So I hold consultations in Dublin, Galway, Cork, Limerick, Kilkenny, Mullingar, and online the odd time. But normally I meet people in person. Mm-hmm. Then I arrange all their dates. So this weekend I've 86 people out on dates, I think, this weekend.
Wow.
All over Ireland, of all age groups. There's people in their 20s right up to their 70s going out on dates this weekend through Love HQ. And it's just a nice, easy way to meet people.
You said there you predominantly like to meet people face to face.
Yeah.
Why would you only meet people online? What would the reason for that be? Is it a travel? Is it a distance thing?
Sometimes people, if they're moving home from Australia, they might meet us. They might say to me, can I get the process sorted sooner? And fairness, I'll do an online consultation. I might be moving home from Australia, Dubai, whatever it is. Mm. Sometimes people have work commitments and they're just like, I'm swamped for the next couple of weeks. But could you get the process sorted? But I do still like to meet them in person before I send them on dates. It's a different vibe. You get to really know them. You get to see their mannerisms. Just even the little chit-chat before and after builds a bit of rapport and connection. And also it helps me to gauge their confidence levels. Like, you know, if they're going to be nervous coming to meet me as a matchmaker, they're going to be nervous when they go on a first date.
Of course.
So it's just trying to help them and preempt any kind of obstacles they might have along the way.
And do you think that term matchmaking as a matchmaker is a little bit old-fashioned? I think that all of us maybe had a friend that we labelled the matchmaker, putting people together and getting such a thrill out of it as well. But do you think matchmaking now is kind of the secret tip to dating?
It is, yeah. Like, I really love the term matchmaker. It's funny, I was doing it about 2 years when Relations and Mind said, isn't it gas? Your like great granny used to be a matchmaker. So I was like, sorry, excuse me?
It's in the DNA,
So, you know, it is old-fashioned to an extent. But like, you know, there is online dating. You can get, and it works for some people. Online dating really works for some people and it's great. But for a lot of people, they like the human touch. Like the biggest decision and the most important decision you will ever make in your life is who you're going to be with for the rest of your life, especially if you want to have a family. Brian probably knows well the testing young baby stage.
Also, let me tell you, I also kissed a lot of frogs to get to where I got.
Exactly.
But that was just good practice. I knew what I wanted.
Exactly. And so you need to know, but not everybody has a personality like Brian. Not everybody has that confidence. Like in Ireland, the worst thing you can do if you fancy someone is tell them you fancy them because like it's a mortal sin, you know? So like, you're probably not going to, you're probably going to ignore someone if you fancy them. So we're not naturally great flirters in Ireland. We're not naturally great at approaching people in bars. If you go to the continent, I'm just back for a few days away, you know? And if you go somewhere on the continent, you're going to get chatted to and everything like that if you're out there and you're single and everything. But like, it's not the same in Ireland. So the matchmaker, they come to me, and also anybody that comes to me is genuinely interested in finding long-term real love. There's no messers.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to invest in the process. They're not going to make an appointment, come and meet with me, get all ready for it. And then, like, I've never had anybody ghosted. Never in 10,000 people. So if you think this is kind of a natural thing that happens with dating, it isn't.
Yeah.
But online dating, when I was doing online dating, I was ghosted I don't know how many times.
The catfishing. That element's almost removed.
There's none of that.
How did you get into this in the first place?
So I was single myself. I realised how difficult it was to find people that I would like to meet. You know, you'd meet nice people out and about, but they weren't the type of person that I would like to date. Mm-hmm. So I tried loads of online dating and everything. I said, right to hell with this. And I also had been matching a lot of my friends. They were all starting to get married, have babies, and were even saying to me, you know, you matched me, like my sister is single, would you consider matching her and everything? And so I just said, right, here it goes. I was working as a financial advisor. I was like, I just want to complete change of career. And so I just started doing it. I launched dating events. Actually, it was the Maybank holiday 9 years ago now that I launched a dating event called The Table for Six, and it just exploded. I had 8,000 people on the waiting list.
No. Wow.
I'm telling you, within 3 months.
Wow.
So it just went mental, and just from there, it just hasn't stopped. Yeah. Then I launched the podcast to go with it. I won an award for Best Sex and Relationship Podcast for one of them. I have another podcast then with clinical psychotherapist Stephanie Regan. And it's just all topics to help people find love. It's as simple as that.
We all just want to settle down and be happy, that's Leanne.
Well, there's obviously a market for it as well. And obviously the people who are coming to you are, you know, in the hopes of finding love. Yeah. And they do get a lot out of it as well, I can imagine. But what do you get out of it, Mairead, as the matchmaker?
Well, I will tell you, when you get a message in the morning from somebody that's just had their baby, whatever about getting married, okay, but when you get a photograph of a couple that you remember them coming to you and having that little loneliness in their heart, because most people that come to me, they're just missing something from their life. There is a little element of loneliness. And when you get that photograph, their little baby and their faces, it just says it all. But like, there's so many people, like last year with 28 couples getting married.
Wow.
It's just real love. That's what it is. You know, you can't pick a nicer business to work in.
Any baby girls called Mairead yet?
No, none. Oh. I actually tell them, Brian, you're not allowed to call them Mairead. Yeah. I think that's
not Mairead.
No, but the matchmaker term is old fashioned enough.
Yeah,
the Mairead.
It's true.
No insults to anybody else.
Brian Dowling and Suzanne Cain on 98 FM.
What are the differences that you find for people that are looking for love in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, their 50s?
Well, first of all, if you're looking for love 20s, 30s, even in 40s, they're possibly still wanting to find someone to have a family with. So I suppose you're looking to make sure that they're going to meet a good mom, a good dad, that they're going to be somebody that you can, I suppose, responsible adults. And let's face it, it is the biggest decision you're ever going to make and the most important decision you're going to make. And when I meet people then that are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, perhaps gone through a divorce, perhaps even widowed, you know, because I meet a lot of people that are widowed, they're now like, I've done my rare and I'm just looking for someone to enjoy my life with. Like, and then they're like more specific. They need to want to retire to the Mediterranean. They need to, you know, it's really a lifestyle thing. And for a lot of them, they probably know what they don't want more so than what they do want, because they either had a great relationship with their ex, hence why they're single, or didn't have, and hence why they're single now again looking. Yeah. So it's all different, you know, and each person is completely different. I can meet two people in their 30s today. Like, I've consultations all afternoon in Dublin today, and they could be looking for completely different things. So each person is completely different.
Yeah, sometimes it is a better thing to know what you're not looking for than what you are looking for, isn't it?
And also, we all carry baggage with us from previous relationships.
That's it.
And it's hard not to carry that forward.
Yeah, it is. And like, I suppose, especially if you've been hurt by a particular type of person, if you go on a date with that, with somebody that kind of reminds you of them, it's hard not to kind of jump back to the memory of it. So a lot of people as well, they'll have patterns. And so sometimes I would send them to my co-host, Stephanie Regan, for, you know, a bit of, I suppose, a few sessions of therapy before, especially if there's had a traumatic experience.
It's a good idea,
not everybody's great out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try and help people as much as possible to increase the probability of success.
Now, listen, how important is a good first kiss?
Oh, everything. Let's face it.
It is everything. Isn't it everything?
It is absolutely everything.
Because you can match with someone.
That's it.
They can be ticking all your boxes, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
And you go in for the kiss and you're like, well, that was crap.
Yeah. But look, the first thing is, do you want to kiss them? So it's after a date. Someone's like, yeah, they were lovely, but I don't know if I had chemistry. And straight away, I always ask them, did you want to kiss them? And like, there's the answer. If you want to kiss them, let's face it, it probably was. Now, it all depends on what type of date I've sent them on. Mm-hmm. If they've sent them on a date for coffee, less likely to want to kiss after it. Sent them on a date for drinks, more likely.
Yes.
You know, the Irish Dutch courage and everything like that. So yeah, it all depends, but look, a kiss is very important.
Also, a word that is so important and a word now that we're hearing all the time, I think we touched on this on 6 o'clock, you were with us for Valentine's Day this year, consent.
Oh yeah,
it's such an important word.
Yeah, it is absolutely everything. Look, I think with everybody, you need to be mature about it. Any of the dates that we send people on, we get a photograph of their ID beforehand so they are who they say they are.
Yeah.
We also only send them for coffee, drinks or dinner. There's no walks in crazy places or anything. So safety first when it comes to love, HQ matchmaking.
Yeah.
And then consent and like being able to say no. Anybody that listens to my podcasts will know that I'm regularly say no is a full sentence. doesn't need an explanation, doesn't need a follow up. And so, you know, I've had Women's Aid on the podcast. We're hoping to have Men's Aid on the next couple of weeks and everything. And it is all about consent and making sure that people feel safe and everything. But, you know, if there is anybody out there in a relationship, there is help out there if you're not in a safe relationship, I'd say.
You mentioned your podcast. Yeah. You've got two podcasts. Tell us about them.
So Would Like to Meet, I set that up a few years ago, actually during COVID. And I just realised everybody's in panic. They're like, what? I'm like social distancing. I'm single. What am I going to do? So I had all these expert guests on and just lining up, like, you know, how to get on top of your finances when you're single and how to buy a house when you're single, like, let's face it, all that crazy stuff. How to get into the right mindset for a lot of people that are exhausted by the apps. I had Jerry Hussey on it, like life coach, loads of different people. And so I actually won an award for Best Sex and Relationship Podcast at the 2022 Podcast Awards. And I have a second one with clinical psychotherapist Stephanie Regan. It's called Tough Love. And we talk about things like, you know, data, anything from narcissistic behaviour to how to get through, you know, the summer holidays and travel solo, you know, anything that comes up, how to date after bereavement, anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's just there. Some of them work for some people, and they can pick and choose what they want, but we're helping people to find love.
Maria, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. You can listen to Maria's podcast wherever you normally get your podcasts, Would You Like to Meet and Tough Love, and find more info at lovehq.ie. Give it up for Maria.
Thank you so much.
Ryan Dowling and Suzanne Cain. Turn us up weekday mornings from 10. 98 FM.